to turn away from them. To do this, we want to begin with the divine intention. The divine intention. If you all were students of the Westminster Confession of the Shorter Catechism, I would ask you, what is the chief end of that? What is the purpose of man? For God to glorify him forever. It's to be in relationship with God. God has designed us, he's purposed us to be in a relationship with himself. And in that we seek to be made in the likeness of God. It's interesting in Genesis 5. Adam is so the family line of Adam. And it sort of begins that when God created mankind, he made them in the likeness of God. So we're creating with that intent. Intention is the thing intended, our aim or the plan. Divine intention is God's plan for us. Divine intention for marriage is God's intention for our marriage. I'm kind of interested in words. I was looking at the word divine intention. I just looked up the English translation dictionary. And I was kind of tickled by it. The word intention, one of its meanings is an honorable intention. And it happens less now, but there was a time in the past where it was very common, and you see it more in movies, where someone comes, someone's daughter is dating this man. And what does the father do? What question does he ask? What are your intentions? And you bet that they could be honorable, but you're in trouble. Okay, so it's what's your intention? And depending on how they feel about you, it's sort of like what your intentions are. What's your intentions? And God's intention, and the intention for marriage, is to be honorable. To be honorable. And just to refresh your mind about the word honor, we'll see it in the Ten Commandments. Honor your father and mother. The word honor means to bear the weight, like heavy and heavy. The weight of who you are. The weight of the family legacy, the weight of living up to what you think God wants. And so it's the birth, the weight of great expectations. Now, by the way, did any of you ever get married with the intention? No one can miss the trial when it's, but I'm not interested in this, I'll just end it. Virtually all of us begin with honorable intentions. And to further describe that intention, an intention is described in Genesis. It is described by Jesus in Matthew. It is described, I believe, in Ephesians by Paul. And just to refresh our mind, is what is God's intention? I got a couple people to help me. Thank you. things that happens, we begin to destroy ourselves. In Proverbs, it says a person who commits adultery has no sense. Whoever does this destroys themselves. This is the destruction of our souls. Now, we'll come back to that. God doesn't allow for the destruction of our souls to be the end of it. But He calls us into relationship with Himself, with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're called into that relationship. He looks and we look at Genesis, and God saw it was not good that man should be alone. And so a helper was made, a helper fit for them, a partner. And they joined together, and out of that relationship should come a strength that builds our relationship with God. It was intended that way, so that we would draw near to God as we draw near to each other. And even as vice versa, as we draw near to God, we draw near to each other. We see a horrible example of this breach with King David. We all know that King David is this precious man of God. In fact, that scripture even said that he had a heart after God. God even said that, "Behold, I make him like child." And he violates this relationship, and in effect, murder, when he says the husband of the woman that he's not longing after to the front, so he will be killed. And he did this even after he breached the relationship. He added to his sin. Up in Psalm 51, it says, "For I know my transgression, my sin is always before me." When we deal with our sin, it confronts us again and again. Half the reason that people do the crazy things they do is to avoid being confronted by their sins. Years ago, I was a street teaching bar master. And I floated at the bar talking to people who needed God. It was kind of fun. And most of the really raucous bars that I went into, I was the only one with a collar and a cross. And I was reaching out to them, and I was talking to them and trying to point them back to God. Well, in this relationship, we hide. Some people hide in the bottom. We hide on computers. We can hide by shopping, we can hide by drugs, we can hide by gambling, we can hide by whatever means we choose to. But David, as horrible as his sin was, he comes to God, and he acknowledges his sins are always before me, and he says to God, "Against you, and you only, have I sinned, and done what is evil in your sight." He realizes the sin that he did against the cause of man's life, the sin that he did before that, in adultery, that it was wrong, not just the evil he did to them, but to before God himself. And if he's ever going to do anything, he has to get back into this relationship with God. A breach in our relationship with God creates a breach in our relationships, and vice versa. And so, there's this tremendous need to come back to God. Now, did you all notice the cover? A happy marriage is the union of two good forgivers. In relationship with the best forgiver, the eternal forgiver. And in that relationship, we come before God and we realize that we're imperfect and we realize that we fail each other. Now, say to you that maybe only once a year did I do anything that was detrimental to my relationship. And I could say 40 times. I wish I could say that the only time I did things detrimental to our relationship by how I treated my wife or whatnot was only 7 times a year. It could be 7 times 40. But we allow things to harden our heart. And when we look further at the divorce side of this, Jesus said, I allowed for divorce because your hearts were hardened. It's been my experience that hearts are hardened not just from a particular action, but the continuing actions where we're not seeking to love the person we're in relationship with the love of God. We begin to look at that person as if the function of that purpose is to please me, to please you. When the real function is to come before God, to praise Him, to rejoice in Him, to delight Him, and to love each other like He would have us love. Particularly in Ephesians, it speaks of being subject to one another, but being in submission to one another, of seeking the good of the other person. He who loves his wife loves himself. And there's a host of passages there. And so, the first thing is the divine intention is for us to love each other, especially, particularly in marriage, as God loves us, which includes us being good forgivers. Marriage is not easy. A lot of stuff goes down that are painful and difficult. As I said, come on, it's here not before evening. We had some doozies of discussions at various levels of volume. Times where we felt like we couldn't stand to be in the same room with each other. Now, just as doing this lesson for the children, but if she was sitting back where she usually does, when I said that, she'd say, "Boy, is he right!" But the grace of God, when it says for us to be perfect, the passage in epistles, that perfection is allowing the love of God to fill you. So in marriage, we open ourselves to the love of God and we seek to give it. It's being filled with God and filled with God's love for the other and opening ourselves up to each other but to God. Which was very hard for me. It was very hard for me to open myself to anyone. When I was an intelligence agent, and soon thereafter I was married. And so we open ourselves to God. We work in relationships, especially when they aren't coming through. We forgive the failings of our spouse. In one case, it's easier. Because when I started out, I was more of a scorekeeper. And I knew I was losing. But she had to forgive me more than I had to forgive her. But seriously, we learn to forgive each other as part of that relationship. Because for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have life. God is not willing for anyone to perish. God seeks for all people to come to Him. And so in marriage, it is the struggle of living in a hostile world where we are in actions and relationships and media that reinforce all the things God doesn't want for our marriage. forgiveness. Is the one you struggle with. And the love and the forgiveness and all is a part of it. But in that, it is so close to the relationship with God that that's a metaphor used time and again. I want to look at the divine intention for the divorce. Because we always seek the divine intention. That's more not that way because, as I said, a host of unkindness, of callousness, of not being there when I should have been, and all these things. Yeah. But to persevere, it is to know the love of God. In the Old Testament, God made it functionally translated Hesed, Chesed, however you want to pronounce it, which means the steadfast love of God. Before I go to the next step, I know I'll go a little more. I'd like to ask any of you if you've been married more than 25 years at this day. I would do this more gradually, but I don't have a lot of time. And you'll remind me of that afterwards. Those who've been married more than 35 years remain standing. Those that are not in these categories, but those that have been married more than 40 years remain standing. Those that have been married more than 50 years remain standing. The love of God does not quit. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. And when we hold on to that love, it keeps us from separating. When we live in a cruel world, those people to stand just to realize the legacy, the honor that those people deserve for being faithful for these many years. My wife and I joke, we've been talking about this for years. I can't imagine being married to someone that long, etc. Even though we're committed and whatnot. And now when we're pushing 40, my wife and I say, we've been married for 40 years. But this is a legacy that we give our children and our family and our church family. There are other legacies we give, but not to honor them is to lose track of the gift that gives and in honor their worth. Now, I want to look at God's intention for the divorce. Who can tell me what is the first mention of divorce in the New Testament? It's in Matthew chapter 1, Mary and Joseph. Because Joseph, her betrothed, her husband, was faithful to the law, yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had it in his mind to divorce Mary quietly. This is quickly in the Old Testament process, betrothal. that Joseph, the father of Jesus, contemplated divorce. But for the Holy Spirit and the angel, how the wife got divorced. And as we struggle, we have to see God. I've worked with couples, relationships that get saved and ones where they haven't. God still cares and is still involved. I was hearing it loud yesterday. This guy was talking about the story of the Samaritan woman. And Jesus offered her the living waters, and she's had this long time. He saw the new water, and she couldn't understand it. And then he suggested to her, "Well, why don't you go get your husband and come back?" And she said, "I don't have a husband." And he said, "In fact, you're right. How many husbands did you get?" "Five." And she was living currently with the one who wasn't her husband. And there's different, the fellow yesterday talked about the different interpretations of that. It could have been five times where her husbands died and she remarried someone in the same family. And after five husbands died, one was upset, was afraid to marry her. That's how the scribes describe these things. Jesus was offering her the living water. The living water. For a woman with five divorces. Not the other divorced people, but the other divorced people in my family. I don't think we have any five timers. If there are, I want to talk to them about it. Jesus did not allow that to separate her from the love Jesus was offering. In fact, she's so blown away by his knowledge and love this weekend that she goes back to the village and she tells everyone, "You've got to see this guy. He told me everything I ever did." Could this be the Messiah, the Savior? And she's so enthusiastic about it. But she tells the village, and they, a whole bunch of them, come back. And when they come back, they talk to Jesus. And they say, "We came because she told us." But now that we've heard for ourselves, we know this Jesus really is the Savior of the world. It's kind of interesting when I look at the intention. I told you it was the honorable intention or the purpose. The second meaning of the word intention is for me. It's for the medical things. Some of you doctors and nurses, you can explain it better to me afterwards. It is the process of a wound. My first intention to which the edges of the wound cling together with no tissue between them. Or by the second intention, when the wound edges it here with sort of a granule tissue from the skin. But the final intention for the divorce is to heal them. What God can do is it would seek, or we could open ourselves and both sides would seek it. We would seek for couples to come back and to be made whole in them. But they would, the wound would be healed. But even where the wound of relationship cannot be healed between them, God will not want the wound of that relationship, but separation, not just from another, but from Him Himself, to go by the wayside. Remember, He came in the cool of the day Jesus comes to play God. And the demon says he clothed him. Because he wanted to draw them back together again. And if they want to come back together again, together, he even reaches out for them, each of them, to come back to him, to be back in relationship. For God is not willing that any should perish, that any would be discarded. Divorce was a vehicle, even in the Old Testament, of discard. And whichever we waited for the man to get rid of, whoever he wanted to get rid of, initially it was not seen with me, it was like to do something that was anti-God. But by the time the scribes and the system got ahead of it, if a wife burned your toast, how did the door seem to go? And Moses, he created a balance that would slow the process down, that would get him to think, that would make him see the possibilities, but he allowed for it because it couldn't stop it. Because the people's hearts were hurting. And he said, if I have a certificate of divorce, it was never the intention of Moses or of God that the separation would happen. It was the intention, if the separation had happened, that it could be as lovely as it could be. In Corinthians, it speaks of two couples that just can't get along. And it says, if the unbelieving partner leaves, it won't say, let them go. For God has called us to live in peace, not just the absence of hostility. Peace is the wholeness of being in relationship with God and each other. The same God who clothed Adam and Eve as they missed their opportunity comes to us. The same Jesus who they bring an adulterous woman before him. The reason they were so hard on the adulterous woman and the adulterous man, and there's laws in the Old Testament that says stone and kill them. At one point, nine was strangled. They didn't let stone. The reason that that was there was they so wanted the divine attention. No less than Jesus. And they bring it. This woman, we all know, we've heard this story a zillion times. Now Jesus stoops down and starts to write in the sand, and most people say he was writing the sins of the people in the sand. I think he started with the small ones first. Because that was easy to leave without acknowledging. It could have been a big one. Says to the woman that they condemn you. Look at this for her. And then he said, neither do I. But he wants the divine intention for her again, to be one with God, to be in a loving relationship with God that brings us into a loving relationship with others. She didn't have much trust. And my brother,
experience either. Although I have tried my best to continue to be there for my sort of ex-sister-in-law. But when they found each other, essentially, they got married like at 60, 61, 2, 3, 4, and the rest of their life was simply. She is a precious lady that loves my brother with the love of God. It's a natural positive influence on him and I. It's helped him be restored to God as well as to relationship. Divine intention is to let God love you and to share that love. And for any who fall, the intention remains the same. To repent, rid of the junk that's in the way, stop the behavior that got you there, and to love with the love of God that embraces you. In the new church, I was the first person to get married, someone that was divorced from the congregation. That was warmly received. And I prayed about this a lot as I grew up my whole life trying to be faithful to Scripture. But in our remarriage, we were faithful to the God of Scripture. Received them back as they sought God again.